Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. While the tax increases and President Obama's debt reduction plan have been getting most of the attention, some are more concerned about the cuts he's proposing, including a $73 billion cutback in Medicaid. To talk about the potential impact of a reduction of this size, I'm joined by Ron Pollack, executive director of Families USA, a healthcare consumer group. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Michael.
A $73 billion cutback in Medicaid funding, what percentage is that of the overall federal Medicaid budget?
Well, it's not a big percentage, but what it is, most of this is really a reduction in what the federal government would be paying the states. And as you know, states all across the country, obviously including Michigan, are experiencing their own fiscal crises. And they simply can't make up for the loss of money. And as a result, after this burden gets shifted onto their shoulders, ultimately it will be shifted onto the shoulders of the very people who depend on Medicaid for their lifelines, seniors and people with disabilities who get nursing home care or other long-term care, and low-income families. And so we're very worried that this actually will have a very harmful impact. And you could see what the potential impact is when you look at the people in Michigan who've got major illnesses and who depend on Medicaid as their lifeline.
Well, the deficit itself obviously needs to now be addressed and reduced. And President Obama, you know, this is part of a larger approach that he's taking in cuts. Do you think that there should be no cuts whatsoever in Medicaid funding at this point?
I think there are ways to create efficiencies in our healthcare system, including Medicare and Medicaid, that are not simply cost shifts. And, you know, we're focusing on what the president proposed. You know, the Republicans proposed something far, far worse. There was a proposal that was voted on the floor of the House of Representatives that was authored by Congressman Paul Ryan, chairman of the House Budget Committee, and it passed on the floor of the House. It was a very partisan vote, and it would change Medicaid to a rigidly funded program with a reduction in funding to the states over the next 10 years of $771 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, nobody wants Americans to suffer, certainly not those that are underprivileged and ill. But Medicare, for example, is roundly considered unsustainable in the long term. What about Medicaid, though? Do you see that this program, the way it's structured now, may get into trouble down the road if it is not reformed?
I think that we can create cost savings in both Medicare and Medicaid through cost efficiencies. And what troubles me is not the idea of trying to save resources in those programs. It is how we're planning to do it. All of the proposals are merely cost shifts, and they're cost shifts onto the shoulders of those who can't bear it. I think there are some cost efficiencies that we can create that would save money, but that would not harm the beneficiaries of the program or reduce the quality of care they receive. For example, there are the biggest costs are for people who have multiple chronic health conditions, and they tend to go to a variety of different specialists. Some see three specialists, some five or seven specialists. Each specialist takes care of prescribing what should be done for their specialty area, but there's no coordination of care. And so what one specialist prescribes for one illness may actually have a harmful impact with respect to yet another chronic health condition that the person has. And we need to coordinate that care in a way that's going to provide the best care. And I think in the process, we can create some real efficiencies.
I'm talking to Ron Pollack. He's the executive director of Families USA, a healthcare consumer group. Now, that certainly makes sense to find inefficiencies in the system and fix them, but that hasn't been done at this point. Wouldn't the fact that we'd see a reduction in funding from the federal level and the likelihood that states probably won't be able to increase their part of the funding, won't that force these types of efficiencies to be found?
I don't think so. I think if we look at what's happened in the past when something like this has occurred, what we've seen are then cost shifts to people who least can bear it. For example, we're seeing benefits in the Medicaid program reduced, key benefits that provide health care services. We're seeing reductions in the payment of physicians. And as you know, physicians get paid a whole lot less in the Medicaid program than they do under Medicare or private insurance. And as a result, a lot of physicians refuse to see Medicaid patients. I think if we create efficiencies that are not cost shifts, I think, and I think the federal government has got to lead that effort. And I believe that once we get out of the political funny season and we really get serious about dealing with the deficit in a way that doesn't hurt people, but that actually can improve quality of care and save money, I think that would put us on the right track.
Some would say America is not a very healthy country. We have a major obesity problem, and certainly many Americans are facing some serious financial hardships right now. So the burden on Medicaid on its own terms is not likely to lighten in any way. And that, you know, even with efficiencies being found, ultimately, if we don't approach a real serious reform and cut back to the program, it won't really be able to sustain the type of financial stress that it's likely to face as more Americans need to use it. Is there no reality in that?
Well, first, there's a great deal of reality in what you started with, namely that we as a nation have got to take much better care of ourselves. And you know, we have to deal with the obesity problem. We have to improve our diets and our exercise. Those are very important things. So I totally agree with that. I believe that we do know a variety of different solutions that are a little more complex to implement rather than cutting somebody off the program or reducing their benefits or forcing them to pay co-payments or deductibles which they can't afford. Those are the kinds of things that are purely cost shifts. And ultimately, it results in a problem. When somebody gets cut off, say, the Medicaid program, and they're uninsured, what happens is when they have the onset of an illness or the onset of a pain, they don't go to see a doctor because they don't feel they can afford to do that. And too often, the problem gets a whole lot worse, and finally they end up in the emergency room, which is very costly. I think there are better ways to do this.
I want to go back to my initial question. When you look at the $73 billion cut, you said some in Congress are proposing a $700 billion cut. What percentage is $73 billion of the federal Medicaid budget?
Well, first of all, the dollar figures that we're citing, the $73 billion and the $771 billion, those are 10-year figures, annually, the Medicaid program between the federal government and the states is approximately is over $200 billion.
Finally, with the president's proposal of $73 billion over the time period, and Republicans likely to support even a bigger cut in Medicaid, do you suspect that we'll see at least this $73 billion cut going through?
No, I don't. I don't think this is just wishful thinking. If you remember the agreement that was reached when the debt ceiling was increased, there was a fallback cutback to the federal budget if the super committee does not reach an agreement. And in that fallback, it's called here in Washington sequestration, there are provider cutbacks in the Medicare program, but there are no beneficiary cutbacks in either Medicaid or Medicare. And so the very low-income people and families that we're talking about would be protected. And I think ultimately that's the direction this is going to go. I don't think it's likely that the super committee is actually going to reach an agreement. Remember, the president said for him to sign the legislation, there's got to be balance. The rich have got to contribute to lowering the deficit. And I just don't see the Republicans agreeing to that.
Ron Pollack, Executive Director of Families USA, a healthcare consumer group. Thank you very much for joining me, Ron.
Well, thanks so much, Michael, for inviting me.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to 1320 WILS.